And now, join Kevin Hart as he dives into the minds of some of your favorite celebrities. This is Gold Mines with Kevin Hart.
Welcome, world. Welcome to an all-new episode of Gold Mines. And what do we do here? I shouldn't have to tell you because you should know. We get inside the minds of amazing individuals. Why? Because you need the information. Why do you need it? Because it's necessary. Why is it necessary? Simply because it's value. I feel like it's my job. I feel like it's my job to put amazing people in front of you so that you can take the tools. You can take the ammunition, put it in your pocket, and fire it off as necessary. Oh, write that down. Put the ammunition in your pocket and fire it off as needed and necessary. How do I do it? How do I do it? I'll tell you how I do it. By simply waking up and feeling good. And when you feel good, you do great things. And today, I feel good because of the person I'm talking to. You know, guys, I think that we've done a really good job of giving you great personnel. And I also think we've done a very good job of constantly amplifying, right? We progress. It doesn't go backwards. It only goes forward. And today's person is an example of forward direction, forward progression. Let me tell you why. We're talking to a real entrepreneur, a multi-hyphenate. I love to say that because I consider myself to be a multi-hyphenate. So when I get to talk to a multi-hyphenate, I get excited. By multi-hyphenate, well, what am I talking about here? I'm talking about the world of a stand-up comedian. I'm talking about the world of an author. I'm talking about, can I say chef? I mean, kind of. You cook, but I mean, technically.
You know, I ain't been to nobody's chef school.
You don't have to go to chef school to.
I don't really like the word chef for me.
What do you like for you?
I be cooking.
There you go. I like it. Okay. I like it. Well, I'm going to say a media sensation. Okay. I'm going to say an entrepreneur. I'm going to say an actress. A New York Times bestseller, guys. That's big. That's very big because it doesn't just happen. Hard work takes that. Or hard work makes that, by the way. We're talking about a best-selling memoir and cookbook. The cookbook was Cooking from the Spirit. We had an inspiration book, mm-hmm. right? A book that was based off of nothing but giving you what you felt people needed. This one was called Feeding the Soul.
Come on. Yep.
Feeding the Soul. I like that. We'll get into that. Also, Seen, Loved, and Heard. And you got a new book. New book coming out, guys. Make a note of this, please. It's called I Did a New Thing. Ladies and gentlemen. Well, to do a new thing, you got to have a thing. You can't do a new thing without a thing. We're talking to Tabitha Brown today. Tabitha, welcome to Gold Mines.
Well, honey, very good. Thank you.
Oh, man.
I appreciate you.
I guess my first question, there's a lot of soul. There's a lot of feeding. There's a lot of cooking. But a lot of things are dedicated and geared towards the soul. Mm-hmm. Before we go in depth about your background and about where you've come from, why such a priority? Why focus so much on the soul? Why are you so adamant about mm-hmm. feeding one's soul? What is it?
It's freedom, right? For me, I did Feeding the Soul because my soul was not free for a long time. Mm. And so when I found that freedom, I wanted to share with everybody else.
What does that mean when you say your soul was not free for a long time?
I was living for a lot of other people before living for myself.
Oh.
And so I was not free.
We just
right?
got a little deep there.
Yeah, well, we went to the soul.
We went to the soul then.
Yeah.
I mean, to realize that, is there a catastrophic moment mm-hmm. that sat you down and made you pay a little more attention to things that you felt you overlooked? Or was it just kind of looking at your surroundings and the people that you were around and realizing that I'm doing more for and not enough for me? Like, what is it that helps spring that realization?
This is Gold Mines, hosted by Kevin Hart.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Now back to Gold Mines with host Kevin Hart.
For me, unfortunately, I got sick, right? So I got very sick, and I was sick for like a year and a half.
Okay.
And I thought I was going to die, right? And so during that journey of sickness, I got into a very dark place, depression, and I thought God had forgotten about me, right? And I started really checking myself like, oh, I grew up in the South, right? So I grew up going to church, and I always prided myself on being this woman of faith. And during this time, I had kind of lost faith. But I also realized I was only habitually praying, which means I was just praying out of habit, but I won't really believe in it. And also because I thought God won't really, you know, hear me or see me anymore. And my prayer was to God, like I was like, okay, I'm going to try one last time to like reach him and really have a conversation with God. And my prayer was, God, if you heal me, you can have me. And what that meant was I couldn't live my life my way anymore. I had to live it the way God intended me to live it, how he created me to live it. And so I started really every day looking at myself, and I was like, okay, what have I created? Who is this Tabitha I created, right? Because I moved to LA from North Carolina trying to, you know, be an actress and pursue fame. And I did everything that I saw or was told to conform and to fit into that box. And that was not who God created. That was who I created. And so I had to start taking those layers off. And that's how I had to realize. I was like, oh, wait, I always cover my accent because I was told to. I always wore my hair one way, you know, long and straight because I was told to. I was always a certain size because I was told to. That's not freedom. I would code switch. I would do all the things that made everybody else comfortable. Meanwhile, I was suffocating the true me, which is probably why I was sick, right? And so I just got to a place where I said, okay, I got to start taking these layers off. I'm still taking layers off.
Wow. That's a big wow.
That's the truth.
It's a big wow because I can understand and I can relate. There is nothing more humbling or eye-opening than that hospital bed. That hospital bed puts you in a completely different mindset because you start to look around and realize actually what's really important. You know what I mean? Like you get to your point in taking the layers off, you start to analyze life a little bit differently and how you looked at it once upon a time, you start to question if you were looking at it correctly or
living it correctly.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Right. And what you said, there's so much value in the words that you just used of your freedom, right? Because, you know, operating inside the guidelines of, you know, this is for anybody, you know, I don't know what everyone's guidelines are, but everybody probably has an idea of guidelines that they've created and that they're operating within for whatever reason you feel you have to.
Right.
But getting to a point where you feel like you're doing what you want to do and living the way you're supposed to live, and you're comfortable enough to look in that mirror every day and love the person that you see, that's a forever, like, goal.
Yeah, that's true freedom.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true freedom.
Absolutely.
I can't sit up here and lie to you, Tabitha, and say, like, I look in that mirror and sometimes like, hey, man.
Yeah.
You still got to get some shit together.
Right.
There's still some days. But I think that I am like a lot better than where I once was.
Yeah. But even if you can look at yourself and say that, that means you've been doing some work.
Yeah.
Because some people look at themselves and they don't say nothing.
No. I was one of those people. I was a shoulder shrugger for a minute.
Yeah.
I don't know what you're talking about. I'm straight.
Yeah.
I'm good.
Right.
But then like after those damn near life-ending moments, you have no choice but to show a little respect and give credit to the Most High. I mean, you know, I'm not the most religious person in the world. I never have been. But there's moments where you see the light and you have no choice but to humble yourself in that time, which is why I said I can relate. And you freeing yourself and getting to a point where you found this version of you. sometimes when you change, people around you don't accept the change.
Ooh.
Immediately.
Come on and preach then. Sometimes, he ain't religious, but he preaches.
Sometimes your change isn't on par for others. And because of that, your change sometimes forces you to leave some behind.
Got to.
And in that moment or in that time as you're leaving those individuals or individual, whatever it is, those relationships behind, you know, they come with a little heartache, they come with a little turmoil, or I guess you could say just a little stoppage, right? There's a little bit of a drama that can present itself in that. Mm-hmm. For you and your change, do you feel like it was supported by the right people? Or do you feel like the right people eventually had to learn to get on this train or get left behind with you? What was that transition like?
For me, I had the right people in foundation, right? Which is like my husband, my children, like my family, right? My daddy. But I did have friends who could not accept my freedom.
Okay.
And people that I adored and loved and spent a lot of time and years with who were not ready for this tab because they're not ready for their own freedom. And I couldn't take it personal. Absolutely, it hurt. Absolutely, I did not feel well for a while. Like, dang, God, I gotta let these people go. But when you let go of the old you, a lot of other things get let go with it. And you got to be all right with that, right? If you want, because my prayer was also, God, you know, expand my territory. I want to do the things that you have called me to do. And in expanding it, he also had to make it smaller. Because a lot of times people think expand means huge. Sometimes expand means small. It makes my circle smaller so that I can grow bigger. And I was all right with that. And I'm still all right with it. But he also will send the people that I need. You know, there's a lot of things I don't know. And so my reach can, like, I have to have a great network, right? I got to have a great team. So he'll send those people that I need to make sure that, oh, okay, these are all the people that's right. And listen, if it don't feel right, it ain't right. And I also don't have a problem with saying that, like, you know, this don't feel right for me. So we're going to have to part ways. And it's okay. It's no love lost. It's just I'm living on obedience. And obedience is completely different than living because you want to live. It's like, oh, I'm living because I'm really letting God order my steps.
Oh, you're following through with a commitment.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You're assignment.
Yes. You're not living on obedience just because it's the cool thing to do.
Right.
You made a commitment.
Yeah.
And in that commitment for your recovery to come and go in full circle and you get back to yourself, well, you feel like you were answered. And okay, absolutely. Well, then I'm going to follow through with mine.
Got to do my part.
I got to do my part.
That's right.
I 1,000% agree and understand.
Yeah.
What I will say is that it's crazy when you start to let things go, let people go. The opportunities that present themselves sometimes are you're unaware of the magnitude of how big these things will be down the line.
Yeah.
It's things that you have to just kind of handle and manage correctly in the beginning because they grow. They blossom into so many things. There's a lot of people that have partaken in the world of social media, and some have done it right, some have done it wrong. You are a pure example of doing it right, right? And building a fan base, an audience, and turning that fan base and audience into supporters of the business ventures, ideas, endeavors, et cetera, the things that you want to do. You own this foundation that you have created. Were you aware in your beginning stages of social media that this was something that ultimately you had ownership of, this relationship, this thing that you were navigating in?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
I had, honey, not a idea.
Okay.
I'm an actress, right? I moved out here. I knew acting. I knew SAG. I knew, you know, that's what I knew, right? You know how long it took me getting the union, honey? That's what Tab knew.
Okay.
And I was always told not to get on social media. As an actor, they were like, they ain't going to take you serious. You get on there, you know? And so I was like, all right.
Who gives this information? This is the most mind-boggling thing to me when I talk to people. And they go, you know what they said.
Yeah.
I'm so curious. Who are they?
The people who still ain't working.
Yeah. Right? I wish we could put a real name on yeah. they. Like when yeah. I hear people say, no, you know what they told me.
Right. Yeah.
You know, all everybody told they told yeah. me I shouldn't.
Yeah.
Who?
But I will tell you, I did have acting teachers, casting directors, like going to workshops and, you know, training, they would say that. And I would listen. I'd be like, okay. So I was always very afraid, you know, in the beginning of getting on social media. I remember I even had friends who, when Vine came out, and they all took off on Vine. And we were all actors together. And I was like, oh, honey, y'all not going to work. Y'all not going to work. And I was broke, and they was making money. And I still was like, oh, y'all not going. I had thought I was better.
Yeah.
And they was on social media. And God yeah. was like, oh, I'm going to show you.
Yeah.
I'm going to humble you real quick, yeah. right? But when I got on social media, it was only because I was being obedient.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of fought it, right? But in my journey of my sickness, and after I had the prayer that I told you about, a thing that you should know about me is, you know, from the time I can remember as a child, I have a gift of seeing, right? Okay. And dreaming and hearing things that nobody else can see.
I know two other people like this, by the way.
Oh, okay. Well, very good. So you familiar?
I know two other people like this, yes.
And so when, you know, as a kid, I could dream things. I'd wake up and tell my mom and them, like, there's no way for you to know that, right? And it's still to this day. And so about a week or two after, you know, I had given God this information that I would, you know, if he heals me, he could have me. I had this dream and I saw myself on the show. And on this show, the screen was small, but I was completely like who I am, right? My hair was shorter. I had like a little bitty afro.
Okay.
And I remember waking up and I was like, okay, God revealed that to me, because at this time I'm still not healed. I'm still not well. I'm not on auditioning. I'm not really able to act. I'm not doing stand-up, because I had tried to do stand-up for a little while, trying to get a TV show. That was my goal. And in prayer, I was like, God, what was this? How was I on a show? And I heard a voice that said, start doing videos. And I was like, oh no, Lord, it's easy. I'm not going to do that. I can't do videos. And the voice said again, start doing videos. I was like, why would I do a video? And I'm sitting in my floor, and I heard as clear as I'm talking to you, he said, listen, when you were out trying to get a TV show and you was doing stand-up, because I was going to little clubs and stuff, he was like, you was reaching maybe 15, 30 people a night. You start doing videos, you're going to reach thousands in minutes. And I was like, see, that's where I got you, because I ain't even got thousands of followers. I think I probably had, like, with my friends and family on Facebook, 3,000 followers, mm-hmm. right? The voice was so loud, it said, start doing videos. And I was like, what would I even do videos about? And so when I first started doing videos, I was kind of telling the same like jokes and stuff I would tell on stage. And I would like go live on my Facebook page and talk about being a mom and, you know, being a wife and all that. And maybe about a couple weeks in, my daughter came home from school and she was like, hey, mama, we saw this documentary at school. I think you should watch it. And it was What the Hell. And I was like, well, it ain't every day, you know, that a kid come home and tell you to watch a documentary. Mm-hmm. And so when we watched this documentary, it was like maybe a light bulb moment when they started talking about not all diseases are hereditary. Sometimes we can eat the same thing that caused the same disease in our family. My mama had died at 51. My daddy is now 72. He's the oldest man to ever live in our family. People die at young ages in my family, and they get sick at young ages. And so the only thing that I could think of was that we ate the same way.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, you know what? Let me try to do this little vegan challenge, right? And so I told my husband, I was like, let's do it for 30 days together. And let me just see if it helps me get better. Because I had a headache in the back of my head for a year and 7 months.
Wow.
Every day.
Wow.
So when I did the vegan challenge, in the first 10 days, my headache disappeared. And I was like, okay, Lord, I'm on to something, right? By the 30 days, I had started getting energy again, because I had chronic fatigue, chronic pain throughout my body. I was just in bad shape. I was starting to feel like myself again. So I told my husband, I know this is supposed to be a 30-day thing, but tomorrow, I'm not going to go back. This is going to be my life. I think I'm going to go vegan. And he was like, that's so good for you. But I'm going to need it's a chicken, right?
I love that you're going to do this, babe. This is
but,
so good
right,
for
that's so good for you.
It's great
right?
for you.
Which mm-hmm. is which is a very important mm-hmm. thing, because you got to go on journeys by yourself sometimes.
You.
Right.
I support
yes,
you.
Exactly. And even if they don't, sometimes you got to be
you
all right.
You got to be by yourself.
And so the moment that I said, I'm going to go vegan, like it ain't a challenge, it's going to be my life. The same voice that I heard that said, start doing videos, whispered in my ear and said, now tell people what you're eating in your videos.
Wow.
And I was like,
this is how it started.
Lord, I don't know about
this.
This
is how it happened.
This is how it happened. But I was so afraid. And so even in my earlier videos, I'm still not completely tab. I'm still trying to watch how I talk. And I don't know if they'll accept me this way. I had also shaved off all my hair. I did a big chop. So I was like, Lord, I know all my family in North Carolina can be like, Lord, that girl done got out there to Hollywood. She gone now. She ain't need no me. She done shaved off all her hair. She done lost her mind. But I was being obedient. And so I did not have any expectation. I did not understand it. I did not care about numbers. I didn't know anything about growing a fan base. That was not my thought. I was just trying to do what God told me to do. So every day, he said thousands of minutes would watch. It would be 30 people on that live. And I'd be like, Lord, it is my aunt, my cousin, and my friend.
What just call them.
Are we doing?
I
right,
just
exactly.
Call them and tell them this information.
I would even cry some days because I'd be cooking. I'd be like, I don't know why God got me doing these videos. He told me it's going to be thousands of people. It's 46 people. Like, what am I doing, you know? But, you know, it started it all, and it happened organically. I wasn't ever trying to push it.
Yeah.
I was just consistent. Every day at 5 o'clock, I cook live. And when I found a new vegan option, I would do a little short video, post it on my Facebook, and it automatically shared it to Instagram. That was all I did, but I did it every day. I was on disability for over a year. So my disability had ran out. And then I had like unemployment that ran out. And so I was starting to feel better. And I told my husband, I was like, because I also had a 9-to-5 before, you know, going on disability. I said, I don't want to go back to that job now. I feel like, you know, God is like calling. It has this like thing on me. I was like, I'm going to go drive Uber because we in L.A. Mm-hmm. I'm probably going to pick up a director or a producer or something. They're going to love me. And I'm going to call you from the set. Like, that's how I be thinking. And I'm going to get discovered in my car. Right. And so my husband's like, all right. Taylor. I was like, I'm telling him I'm about to get discovered in my car. And so I started driving Uber like that in October. And I would still, you know, do my video. I'd make sure I'd be home. Okay, I'd have made enough money to pay this car payment, this phone bill. Like, that's how I measured my rides. And I would still go home every day at 5 o'clock and do my cooking live. And by December 30th of 2017, I had dropped somebody off by Whole Foods one morning and was like, oh, Whole Foods be having vegan options. So I'm going to go in here and get me a little breakfast. And I went in there and had never heard of a vegan bacon at that time because I was just a couple months in. And I was like, oh, let me get this sandwich. It was a TLTA, but I said the name wrong, called it a TTLA. And I was like, oh, let me do a video, tell people I found a new vegan option because it was so good. And I was sitting in my car, did the video, posted it, went back to driving, got home and turned my phone on. And that video had like a bloop, 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 50,000. I was like, who's watching this? Next morning, had over 100-something thousand. I was like, I told my husband, I said, I think I'm going viral. He was like, what that mean? I said, I don't know. He was like, well, you gonna make some money? I said, I don't know. And within 4 days, Whole Foods reached out through Facebook and was like, we saw your video. We'd love to work with you. And I've been doing this ever since.
Then the discovery of endorsement came through the discovery of unknown.
Yep.
I mean, it's insane. Like these are the stories that people just need to hear. Need to understand and truly, truly need to hold on to, right? Because the thing that you're preparing for, or the thing that you think that you're preparing for, is going to come when you're least prepared. Yeah. But it's about your mindset during that time. Mm-hmm. If you're ready for it, how you take it on, how you handle it, more importantly, how you proceed after. And what I love the most about what you're talking about saying, look, this is just what I was doing. And I love that I was able to do it and do it as myself.
Yes,
I was very happy in doing it. Still curbing myself in small ways, but it was the discovery, just trying to figure it out. And ultimately, people just gravitated towards what they felt was real.
Yeah.
It was real information attached to a real, like, halfway piece of understanding to what this world was. Like, I'm new to this vegan space.
Right.
And in my world of discovery, I'm going to take you guys on a journey with me. As I find it, I'll show you. As I cook said things,
exactly
I'll
happened.
Cook it for you. Yeah. Oh my God, I done found this vegan bacon. I didn't even know they had this. Here's where I went. And then what happens is, well, you become an influencer. And the power of the influencer is so underrated. It's so underrated because the businesses gravitate towards the influencer because your words speak volumes for the brand that the brand doesn't know how to say on their own. They can't program what you can do. They can't.
Very true.
They can't.
Yeah. There's real, nothing beats realness.
At all.
Yeah, nothing
beats it.
Here's
the flip though. Tabitha, let me tell you what you did. Let me drop a little gold nugget on you.
Come on with it.
Write that down. Write that down. Gold nuggets. All the listener knows when I say gold nuggets, something is coming. We need a like an alert. When I say gold nuggets, like I don't know what gold.
It should be the little gold coins.
Something should happen. Like, Like, don't make it sound like shit in the toilet, but something like, like, here it comes, right? The flip that people miss is, as an influencer, your power is elevating these brands. While doing that and understanding that, you grab that information and then you embed that information into the world of your brand. Mm-hmm. How do you develop your brand so that your brand gains value at the same time that you're bringing value to these? Because if you do that correctly, then you, as an entrepreneur, are going to say, you know what I want to do? And when I say I want to do this thing, not only will I do it, I'm going to let the same people that have been following me forever follow me on my new venture, on my new journey. And they'll get excited about seeing me grow and do. I'm now an example of not just saying things, but completing things.
Yeah.
So my brand is blossomed and flourished, but my brand is homegrown. So your people are following what they know is real, true, mm-hmm. but doable.
Very doable.
That's the golden nugget.
Come on.
Doable.
Yeah.
And what the bulk of people are looking for in our world is how. Mm-hmm. What do I do? How? How do I start? Where do I go? What do I do? The more stories, the more live examples of, you fuel the opportunity for those that are simply like, well, how? And your story of how is so dope because you took that moment and the once upon a time personality that was just cooking just to cook and sharing the stories, well, you turned that into the world of your cookbooks and your reason behind recipe and stories attached to. And then that went to more books. How did you then say, you know what? Hey, I can play in this space and I can do more than just cook. What was it? What sparked that next thought? Give me that one.
More Gold Mines with Kevin Hart after this.
Is there such a thing as a traveler? Not a Delta. Because we know on one flight, Mike in 8C prefers reality TV to reality. So we provide more than 1,000 hours of in-flight entertainment. While on the flight after, 8C is occupied by Jen, whose favorite snack is tea. That's why we provide fast, free Delta Sync Wi-Fi available for SkyMiles members. Because at Delta, we know. Refill? Everyone flies their own way. Delta, keep climbing. Free Wi-Fi available on most domestic flights. Terms of use apply.
Who doesn't love a classic chocolate chip cookie? Famous Amos has been making them since the 70s. 1975, to be exact. With semi-sweet chocolate chips and a satisfying crunch. It's everything classic in one bite-sized cookie. And fans couldn't get enough. That's right. You'll find our original recipe, the one you know and love, in every bag of Famous Amos original chocolate chip cookies. Find Famous Amos anywhere you buy your favorite snacks.
Want to make mom's day? Get to your Nordstrom Rack now and score amazing deals for Mother's Day, which is Sunday, May 12th. Find tons of gifts from only $30 at Nordstrom Rack. Fragrance, jewelry, luxury bags, activewear, beauty, and more. Save on Kate Spade New York, Stuart Weitzman, and Ted Baker London. Great brands, great prices. So shop your Nordstrom Rack store today and treat mom to the good stuff from just $30.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
We return to Gold Mines, hosted by Kevin Hart.
When Whole Foods reached out, I was like, well, you know, I'm not a lady that just cook and do, food reviews. Mm-hmm. I'm a trained actress. So y'all got some commercials y'all want to do?
I love that she keep throwing it. Tap will make sure you understand that.
Listen.
Tap, if she don't say nothing else, let me tell you something.
Let me tell you something.
Because look, let me tell you why I can't.
Let me tell you what. I got many jobs.
Okay. I
got it.
I was in class.
I done did the studies. I done been in there.
I done did the homework. Y'all know I left the South. I came
to
out
come
here.
Out here.
I came out here.
To do the drink.
Okay.
And then I got a team. But and I cut up.
Yeah.
But that's what I told them.
Yeah.
Right. And so I did campaigns for them, right? Mm. I did commercials for them. And I was like, kind of what you said, everything that I had been doing organically every day with my fans, you know, with cooking, they would be listening, right? And so they was like, "Tell, we want a seasoning." And so I started trying to develop my own seasoning. I was like, would y'all really buy a seasoning? You know, even I am a storyteller, right? And so, you know, when you're from the country, you grew up around like older people, we have sayings and stuff. It's just a natural thing for me. I didn't realize how much I, in my freedom, that I would say things that became like catchphrases for people. I would go live, but never watch my lives back, right? So I would just be in the moment. I would read the comments as we going sometime. But one day I had went to the gym and I was on the elliptical and I was like reading comments. I said, why do people keep saying that's my business? All in the comments. So I was like, let me watch this live and see what they're talking about. Maybe I missed something. I probably said, because that's my business, 30, 40 times the whole time while I was cooking. Mm-hmm. So people start saying, Tab, can you put that on a t-shirt? Mm-hmm. I was like, on a t-shirt? Mm-hmm. Are people really going to buy a t-shirt to say, because that's my business? This was my first kind of like wake up to like, oh, wait, these people will really bless me, right? This is like, they support me. And I went downtown LA, got me some t-shirts, found me a printer, got them printed up, came back. I had a little Etsy store because I used to sell like, you know, clothes and stuff on there. Tab always had a hustle, okay? And so I loaded it on there, on my t-shirts. And I announced to the people, I was like, hey, I did these t-shirts y'all asked me for, but I only had got like 100 because I was like, I don't know if people really gonna buy them. And so I loaded it and I went to the grocery store real quick.
Gone.
And I came back and I was like, went to the site and I couldn't see it. I said, Lord, I must have loaded it wrong.
Gone.
They was gone.
Gone.
And so when you look at your analytics, you can see how many people tried to buy. Mm-hmm. I missed 3,600 orders because I did not believe people would buy. Mm-hmm. I only had 100, but I could have made. And that was my first, I was like, oh, I need a t-shirt business. Mm-hmm. So I started doing my own merch, right? Mm-hmm. And I did it myself. I had my daughter on payroll. I was like, you don't want to go to school? Okay. You gonna run customer service? We're gonna do, you know, so I had my own t-shirt brand. And that turned into, as I'm cooking, doing the spice, I was like, I might can create my own spice. So I was trying to do it, but it was very hard and I didn't know anything about it. Cause I don't really know anything about food other than cooking it and eating it, right? And at this time. And so McCormick Spice had reached out. Now we, you know, kind of in the pandemic. And they was like, we would love to, you know, work with you on a recipe. Mm-hmm. So I already, you know, my granny them was cooking with McCormick. So I was cooking with their products and they was like, okay, let's do a live with you cooking. And I was like, okay, I'll make some pasta. Did that. And afterwards they were like, would you ever want to do your own spice? I was like, I've been trying to develop one, but I don't have the resources.
Pow, ping.
That's
pow.
How that came to be.
Starting to
right?
Pow, pow, pow.
Everything. So then same time, ever since 2018 when I cut my hair off, she started growing back. So I had like a little short afro.
Is she your hair?
She is. Her name is Donna.
Okay, Donna?
Donna.
Okay, got it.
And so I was cooking live one night and my hair had grown about this much, but it was sitting straight up at the top. Now it's curly, but not in the top. It was just straight.
God damn it, Donna.
And I said, she didn't have a name at that point.
Okay.
And I was cooking. I said, why is this piece of hair sitting straight up looking like Don King? I'm about to call her Donna.
Okay.
And people was like, from that day on, everybody know her. It's Donna. And I call her Donna. Like, that's when she was born. So I just forever called her Donna. And because of my neck injury, I had a spell where I had to sleep straight, like flat on my back. So my hair had started to thin in the back. Mm-hmm. So I started trying to find products to help her grow back. And because I was a new vegan, I didn't want to just put anything in my head. So I was like, maybe I can create my own product.
Pow.
Right?
Pow.
So I'm trying to do that. Then my business partner, she was a mom that my husband coaches basketball, coaches kids. Her son was on the program. And so she came. She was like, I have an idea I want to run by you. And so she had an idea for a hair care line. I said, girl, I've been trying to develop a hair care line for the last year. She was like, I got it because you cook and that's Donna. You can name it Donna's Recipe. And that's how I have my own hair care brand called Donna's Recipe.
God,
so everything is me.
Where
like I'm intentional.
Where was I at? I mean.
Working? You were working.
God damn it.
You know? But that's literally how Donna's Recipe came to be.
Here's like what's so dope about like what you now have. And I love saying like this because, you know, people understand like how I think. I'm a big connect guy, right?
Yeah.
If it doesn't connect, it doesn't make sense. And ultimately, I'm trying to complete a circle, right? And what you're doing is basically putting these things that put you in position to complete a circle. And the circle is a circle of life. Mm-hmm. I break this down.
Come on.
In a circle of life, people do the same things in different places all over the world, mm-hmm. right? People are going to eat. People are going to sleep. People are going to drive. People are going to travel. People need a home. Mm-hmm. And people are going to want to take care of themselves. And that can be in health and wellness. That can be in skin, hair, you know, I guess you say longevity-like products. Mm-hmm. These are the things that ultimately are never going to go away.
Right.
Within that, you also have people want to dress, mm-hmm. right? These small things, how I broke it down, all connect the wheel of life. Now, mm-hmm. you can start to elevate these different things through luxury, through mid, through low, through affordable, through high price. It all starts to vary. This is how you go and start to play the game. But if you put yourself or your business in the place and space of that wheel and you start to connect the dots properly, you'll find a through line through connectivity to the people that just align with you. So as you're talking about cooking, you're talking about hair, you're talking about product, you're talking about reading, you're talking about feel good, soul, you're talking about energizing people in a way that can complete and complete and complete again. And now, because you have a proof in concept, well, now you just take the concept. And now you can go to whatever brand you want and you can say, I want to develop my version, but I want to use your ecosystem.
Yeah.
But I want to split it with you. Well, that's how their businesses continue because they don't keep thinking of the fucking great ideas.
Right.
Other people come to them with the great ideas, but you chop it down. Mm-hmm. I need your infrastructure. You need my mind, my idea. Product is delivered quick, fast, in a hurry, in bulk. My overhead isn't that crazy. We meet, we split, we go. By the way, I want a bigger marketing infrastructure. Yeah. I'm going to go and partner with a marketing infrastructure. You can keep now going up because the business of Tabitha is the business is real. And yes. The business that's real, it can only progress into so much more. Like, I'm excited to see how many more dots you connect in this space because your discovery is just coming off of you going, yeah, I did this. They told me, hey. Who done? That's my hair. Y'all know it's been flat in the back. What you using to get it out? I don't know. I've been using some stuff. I've been using this stuff. It's working.
Yeah.
My hair getting full. Girl, give me the recipe. Hold on now.
Yeah.
You pause it. You pause your lives.
You want Donna's recipe?
Well, wait a minute. That's my next.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. Literally. Everything that I do, that's how it happens.
I love that.
Yeah, everything I do, it comes from something that really means something for me.
So are you now falling in love with the business of the business?
I love business if the partnerships are right.
Ah, okay.
Right? I'm spiritual, right?
Okay.
I feel. And if it's if it feels right, I'll be all in. If it don't feel right, it ain't no amount of money in the world that's mm-hmm. gonna make me say.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be like, oh no, God bless y'all.
Mm-hmm.
But I do love it. I love how many people I can touch.
Mm-hmm.
I love how many lives I can change. And I also love like waking up with an idea and then actually seeing it come to pass.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do. I really enjoy that.
Well, now you said earlier, you mentioned the word team,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
Which means that you obviously have people that you are working with. I want to get to your daughter in a little bit. But, you know, to get a team, you would have had to vet out or make decisions as to who best fits the world mm-hmm. of and, you know, who aligns with the vision that you have. And more importantly, the level of care. And who do you trust to say, I'm empowering you to do this for me and help this grow with me. How did you go about, you know, choosing mm-hmm. the members of the quote unquote team? Did you get help or was this a discovery of yours as well?
It was, and people don't be believing me, but so when I first started, I was just trying to get into the Atlanta market. So I had signed with this manager in Atlanta. So when I went viral, I hit my agent up at the time. I was like, hey, I done went viral and I need to, you know, figure out like what to do. And they were like, oh, this is just a thing. We're not really into the social media. It'll fizzle out. And I was like, yeah, but I'm Whole Foods is saying that they want to work with me. They were like, don't really, you know.
It's nothing.
And so I was like, okay. So, and the manager, she didn't know at all. Because when she told me that to charge them $500, I said, girl, we're going to part ways, right? And I mean, it's not going to work out, right? So I had a friend who was a producer. And he and I had been trying to develop like a little, maybe a cooking show or do something. Because he used to watch my lives. And he was like, you got something. He was like, I don't know what it is, but we can't stop watching. Me and my wife be watching. He had slid in my DMs too. And we had had a meeting. And we had just, you know, kind of went back and forth about different things. God put him in my spirit. And I called him. I said, hey, listen, I need you to be my manager. He was like, oh, I'm not a manager. I'm a producer. I said, yeah, but the Lord told me to start giving you 10%.
Yeah.
So I'm going to just start giving you 10%.
By the way.
And you're very smart. And I know you're going to figure it out.
You bullied him.
With love and money.
You bullied that man in a religious way. This doesn't happen often. There's only a couple instances
I paid
that are currently in time where the Lord has put you in a position to bully. You bullied that poor man.
Stephen Love.
Yeah, Stephen Love was strong arm. The first.
I'm going to just give you this 10% and you're going to start doing the work.
The first religious strong arm to date that's been talked about on Gold Mines. Happened here.
It was a spiritual awakening. Okay.
You got to read between the lines, people. You got to listen to what she's saying. Okay.
And so he became my manager.
He took
right?
it. He said, okay.
He did it. And
he got no choice.
For 2 years, from like, you know, 2018 to 2020, me and Steven did probably over 50 deals together.
Wow.
Right?
Wow.
We learned as we went. We didn't know it, both of us. We were like, we know the entertainment world, but we don't know this social
figuring
media branding and all this. And so he ended up as a producer doing a project. He had won an Emmy for it, right? And he ended up getting signed with CAA. CAA was always my dream agency. So I said, hey, Steve, you got to pitch me to them. You got to tell them about me. He was like, man, I'm telling them every day when I have opportunity, I'm telling them. And this was like 2019 when this happened. And so they ain't called me. They was just like, oh, okay, that's great. Like that, you know, it was just that kind of thing. And in 2020, when the pandemic kind of, you know, took off, I had got on TikTok. My daughter was like, Mom, you need to get on TikTok. And so I was like, girl, I don't really know. There's kids on there. But she was like, no, you could be like TikTok mom. You could do your, you know, food videos. You could do your inspiration. But you just got to be quick because it's 60 seconds. And I was like, all right. So I got on there and she was right. In the first, you know, week I went viral. In the first 30 days, I had 1 million followers. The next week, I had 2 million. It just kept growing, right? And all of a sudden, Stephen called me. He was like, hey, CAA called me because they seen me on TikTok. I was like, not the CAA who didn't want me last year. Petty, just petty. Knowing I was ready for the call, though. And so he was like, they want to, you know, take a meeting with you. So I was like, okay. So that's how that happened. Like, I took a meeting, but I had prayed that night before. I said, God, I need a real team. Like, I need a team. Mm-hmm. And I took the meeting with my agent, Arlita. And while I'm talking to her, she was like, I normally wouldn't do this. She said, but I feel like you need a whole team, which is for me, confirmation, right? She was like, I want to introduce you to this management company. And I was like, okay. So then I did another, you know, this is when everybody was doing Zooms. Took another meeting and I was like, oh, this feels right. Like, it's management. Mm-hmm. Now I have, you know, agency. Mm-hmm. This is a good team. And we all worked together, you know, for maybe the last like 2.5 years, right? Because Stephen went on to do other things like producing major films and things. And then as opportunities came, I would hire internally, right? Like, I need an assistant or I need, you know, production. I would hire those people, but it had to, you know, still feel right. Some people I knew, some people I didn't, right? But I would kind of, you know, cross paths with them. And
what made you realize that you needed that though? Like at that point, like, you know, the idea of an assistant or the idea of personal help, was it becoming overwhelming for
you?
Things
were moving so fast.
Got it.
And lack of knowledge, right? I know what I know and I know what I don't know. And I'm always walk in the room and say, you know, I'm gonna be observant. But if I don't know, I'm gonna say, oh, I don't know. And I need somebody to speak English to me, okay? And if I can't understand English, that means I really don't have the knowledge. So I need to find somebody who has the knowledge, who can also break it down for me. That's how I think about things like that while learning. But when things started moving very fast and if I can't keep my eye on everything, that's when I know I need a team. I need somebody in place to keep their eye on that. Because my husband at the time, he thought that he was like, hey, babe, I got you. I can make sure. And he said, no, babe, you're going to need some help because I can't pay attention.
I love that, though. I love the honesty.
Yeah, absolutely. Moment.
I think the smartest person in the room is the dumbest person in the room.
Oh, yeah.
Because the dumbest person in the room has no problem with just saying, I don't know.
Yeah.
The assumption that you do know, or to want the assumption that you do know when you don't, is the most ignorant thing ever.
Yeah.
I'm a firm believer in the hand raise.
Yeah, absolutely.
And by the way, I can tell you, and this is a matter of fact, and there's people that work for me in this room, I am not the smartest person in heartbeat. Okay. I know that people may think, oh man, look at Kevin Hart. I'm telling you right now, I have done a great job of surrounding myself with brilliant minds to ultimately make this brilliant thing work.
Mm-hmm.
And I've gotten smarter by simply learning from my environment. But I'm a firm believer in supporting the idea of onboarding and opportunity for those that know and can do what you can't.
That's right.
You can't do it all.
No, I cannot.
You can't.
No. I like that you said that. You are the heartbeat, right?
Yeah.
And you have somebody else that can be, you know, arm, leg, you know, hands, brain.
Well, I wear jackets that make it look like I know.
Right. Yeah. And that's what we do.
I got smart clothes.
Yes. They
remember
look
that time
good.
I wore that thing? When I had that
with
thing
the crease
on
in
with
it.
The shoes and the jacket with the stuff. It looked like I was the man.
Yeah.
I left that meeting like, what the fuck is going on? Somebody got to lay that out for me.
Speak
what
English
did that man in there say?
Listen, my quote is always, speak English to me.
Did we have the deal or not?
What is really going on?
Yeah, well, Kev, I think they basically just say yes. Okay, because the way he said it.
It didn't really come out the way that I had thought. So,
I am very impressed, not just by the conversation, but by you. I mean, A, you should know that. That's why you're here. B, I'm also impressed at your ability to align yourself with those that you love, your husband, your daughter. You mentioned your husband several times. You mentioned your daughter briefly for a moment. I said I wanted to get to that. I mean, the shows that you've done online, right? You put yours with you. And, you know, I think it's very clear the amount of love that you have for yours through the videos. And I think the people that have watched these videos to the duration of time, they relate, they understand, they more importantly feed off of that. Was that the idea from the takeaway? Was that a discovery as well? Was it, hey, honey, come and be in this with me and I just want to see what'll happen? Or, hey, sweetie, I know that you helping me with this, but I want you to do this and we're going to do these things on Mondays and I think it could be cool. Was the idea like vetted out from the beginning, or was it a chance and like, let's just see. I want to see what happens. Sit in this with me. How did that come about?
So when I first started doing videos very early on, and people who've been following me for a long time, they noticed my husband did not want to be on nobody's video, right? So even when I would cook live in my kitchen, you would hear him, but you never saw him. You would hear him like, man, you got them people looking in our kitchen. I can't even go to the refrigerator, right? He was very much so like, what are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
When that first check hit, he was like, you ain't turn your phone on it. They do little videos. When last time you posted? Because, you know, he barely 1 + 1 = 2, right? But he still didn't want to be in, like, on camera necessarily. My daughter and my son at the time, you know, they were still very young and my daughter was still in school. I'm cooking. Mm-hmm. So it's real life.
Yeah.
You would just see them walking around. My son could barely lift his head over the counter at that time. He would be like looking at, hey guys, you know. Choice would come on and back then it was a app that she would read off of and it would be like a daily inspiration. She would come and get a word of the day, like just something that she wanted to do. Mm-hmm. She was a teenager. I'm like, girl, come on, get the people a word while I'm getting something out the oven. Like, you know, it was just a natural thing. Mm-hmm. It was never a plan. It was like, if you're going to see Tab, you're going to see all of me.
Yes.
So when she graduated high school, she knew she didn't want to go to college. And we knew that she wanted to get into entertainment in some type of way. She was liking modeling. And I told her, I said, listen, the way that I can help you is by showing people who you are, right? And then you develop your, you know, your followers that way. Then it's up to you to show them who you are, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, every Monday, because God had told me to start to bless small businesses. And I was like, well, Lord, how am I going to do that? Because I would always like post
I love this,
and stuff.
By the way.
And so I said, you know what? Every Monday, we are going to showcase small businesses. You're going to get on here. You're going to be my co-host. And that way people, you know, will start to follow you, and then you'll gain your audience, and then you can start getting your own brand deals and things. Mm-hmm. So that was my thought for her. Mm-hmm. And that's how Berry Good Monday started. So we started doing that. And, you know, every Monday we would get on there and just, you know, bless business.
By the way, it's in that like idea and that breakdown, like you can clearly see how your mindset of business mm-hmm. has changed, right? Like what once was in the beginning and how you started in the beginning is the way that you approach things now. So
right.
the way that you're giving your daughter the game and how you're going to do it is so dope, because it's after your experience has given you the knowledge, hey, this is how we're going to break you and set you up.
Yes,
I love
absolutely.
That. I yeah. love that. And I love the idea too of highlighting the world of small businesses.
Yes,
right?
It's a passion for yes. me. Still, I still do it now, mm-hmm. right? Now, when it comes to my husband, for Fridays with Tab and Chances, which is our podcast, it started off very organically. This was not a plan. So what happened was, for like 2 years, people kept saying, how you and Chance get together? Like, what's y'all story? And so I said, you know what, babe? People keep asking. Let's do a video and just tell our story, how we got together, right?
Yeah. People ask my wife all the time.
Right.
I like, just tell them the truth. I was a dime. You saw me. You was like, I got to
resist.
Have him. That's
couldn't
all it
resist.
Was. That's what it was.
Right.
I didn't do nothing crazy.
Yeah, you know? You just showed up.
I was just there being a dime. Okay? when you got the dime-isms,
okay.
stuff just happened.
Come on.
You know, she can't stand it. By the way,
she's
not even close
like
to
this.
The truth.
No.
Not even close to the truth.
Right,
that's,
right.
That's the story that I've held on to for years.
And that's your business. Huh?
I was drinking lemonade.
Yeah.
Minding my business.
She walked up on you.
She talking about, can I get a sip? You know what I said. No. Crazy lady. She just kept coming back.
Exactly.
How? Yeah. So with that information, like, did he take to it? And
well, what happened, we did one of my friends was there, who I call my brother Nick, wrote out the questions for us. And I was like, you ask us the questions and we'll answer the questions,
okay.
right?
Okay.
And so we did that, and with telling our story as well. And we ended up posting it on a Friday.
Mm-hmm.
So people,
went
like
crazy.
The video went crazy. They were like, oh my God, it's Fridays with Tab and Chance. And I was like, hey, babe, they think it's a Friday thing. He talking about, I ain't got nothing to do with what they think. We done did the video you wanted to do, and that's it.
You're not gonna keep on asking.
And I was like, this is him. I said, but babe, what if we did it every Friday?
See what I'm saying?
And we called it Fridays with
Tab and Chance.
See,
that's why I don't do nothing with you.
Right?
This is why I don't do nothing.
This is exactly what he called you today before I came over. This is exactly what he said.
This is why I don't do nothing with you.
I said, but we could probably make money. He was like,
now hold on now.
What do you mean?
Now, when you say we,
how we going to make the money?
How we going to split that?
Because, you know, we're going to get the ad revenue. We'll throw it up on Facebook. Because back then, you know, Facebook was paying very good.
I mean, I'm not mad.
You know?
I'm not mad to do it. If you want me to do it.
This was him.
Okay.
So I was like, all right. So then we just started doing Fridays with Tab and Chance. And that's how it started.
Wow.
On our phone.
Wow.
Yeah.
I hope you guys are listening.
Yeah.
I hope you're listening. I hope you're holding on to this, because it's so authentic. It's so real. And there's such a beautiful smile on her face as she's telling the stories and going down memory lane and how these things blossom, how they manifested into what they are now. Do you know, or have you ever met Regina Hall?
I've met her in passing, but years ago, but I haven't like recently.
You would
but
absolutely love Regina Hall. So, you know, Regina Hall, for years, that's my sister. Regina Hall is probably top two, arguably could be one, like people in my life, especially in this business. Mm-hmm. Like Nana Jean Jean is what I call her, because she's just so old acting.
Yeah.
But for years, Regina would always tell me how she sees things. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Kevin, I foresee stuff. And baby, Kevin, I want to tell you, like, this is what I saw for you. And this is what she would do it for years. And I used to fight Regina off. Regina, stay your crazy ass over there. Don't come over here with that mess.
Yeah.
We on set, Regina. Don't start with me. Baby, I just want to tell you something. This morning I had a good vision of you. Your mother says hi. She would always say these things. And like,
that's
she
my
beat
life.
Me down. She beat me down to the point to where like I had to start listening to her.
Yeah.
And she, not in a weird way, was like, she really explained to me what it was and what she would do. And it was after my mom passed away. I'm telling you the story for a reason. My mom had passed away. She was crying. She was so emotional. She was so sad for me. And she like left me alone for a week. And like after, she was like, Kevin, she was like, I had a dream. She said, and I just got to tell you, like, your mom is okay. Yeah. And I was like, Regina, don't start with me. Don't try to like get a reaction out of me. Not today. No, like, baby, she's fine. She's happy. And like, you just should know that. Mm-hmm. I saw that. And then my baby was born. Before my daughter was born, Regina, she was like, you having a girl.
Regina, Nico, we might be tweens.
I'm telling you, listen, I'm telling you how she beat me down. You having a little girl. You having a little girl. And I think you're going to have another baby too with Nico. You're going to do boy, girl with Nico. Me and Nico ended up having a girl, boy, had two. Okay. Regina, hey, that youngest one, he's going to be the one. That little boy, he's going to be, watch. Mm-hmm. Comes out with this personality like crazy. I saw that. I saw him being exactly like, I mean, everything this woman has said, I wish I could debate it. I wish I could say I fought her off with it. It has all come true.
Yeah.
Opportunities, career. This woman has seen my life unfold and whatever dream she done had. And in the way that you talk, she's a person that you should meet. And if I can help in you meeting her, when I say there's so many similarities that you'll be mind blown between you and Regina, just the way you talk about the spirit, the way you talk about God, the way you talk about your life, how you've changed, your commitment. She's somebody that you would find an amazing.
I would love that.
I'm going to spearhead that introduction just because I think it's something that'll be good for you. And especially with her in the business and where she is and what she's done. She's another entrepreneur, but there's so many.
But I love that you accepted it finally.
Well, she beat me down.
Listen, and you can't. She's strong. Like,
when you say, same thing you did to that poor man. Same thing you did to that poor manager that wasn't trying to be a manager that you made a manager. Listen, that poor man that now is happy.
But you know what's crazy about that with Steven? We didn't know each other, like really, really know each other. Mm-hmm. We were getting to know each other. So I didn't know what was happening in his life. God just told me, start giving him 10%, right? He told me later that he was driving Lyft and he didn't tell nobody. And the money I was giving him was paying his bills, getting him and his wife caught up.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, so we got to be obedient.
No. That's the craziness. And that's also what I mean about the information. Like, you can only fight it off of so much, but when it's actually happening, it gets a little, like, you can't ignore it.
Yeah, you can't.
Regina, I could not ignore it. And I'll tell you what else I can't ignore. I can't ignore just your amazing personality, your take on life, and your transparency, right? Like, that's a gift in itself. And, you know, those that have that gift and that share it, people gravitate towards it. Mm-hmm. So it's no shock that you are what you are. It's no shock that your fan base has grown into what it is today. It's no shock that you keep finding new ventures to give your all to, because the personality that you have is one that's addicted to the feeling of feeling good. And as you find things that make you feel better, well, you just keep doing more. Yeah. And that's what I think you have fallen in love with, the feeling of feel good. And these things are doing just that. And I hope that it continues. Like, I hope that you complete this circle. And whether you realize it or not, I hope that what I said to you resonated enough for you to kind of look at it as a circle of connection. Because I swear to you, it's going in that direction. And entrepreneurs are great for a reason, because you just continue to do the things that other people don't get done.
I appreciate that. And I receive it.
I mean it.
Yeah, I'm going to keep on going.
Ladies and gentlemen, what an episode. What an episode. This is Gold Mines. And you know what we do here. We get inside the minds of amazing individuals. And today was no different. Why? Well, because gems were dropped. Notes were given. Honesty was used. More importantly, it was for you. Don't not take advantage of what's free. And this information is just that. Guys, there's a new book coming out from Tabitha Brown. The new book is called I Did a New Thing. Shocker. Shocker that she did a new thing. It should be obviously.
Gonna keep doing it.
Because she's gonna keep doing it. Yeah. Tabitha, thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you,
what an amazing conversation. I'm serious. And I got a little bit, I feel like you fed my soul today.
Well, I am so grateful for that.
I feel like you did. You said some things that I need to sit my little ass down and hold on to and reevaluate.
We are always worthy of that.
Well, I'm just telling you.
You know?
I do not take for granted some of the stuff you said, and it was said to me today for a reason. So I'm going to go sit down in my office and go look in the mirror and have a conversation with myself. That's nobody's business, what I got to say to myself.
Listen, ain't nobody's business but yours.
Ain't nobody's business but mine.
That's right. Shall I give my signature ending for you?
Yes, please.
For your folks? And
yes.
Things? Okay, well, very good. But thank you. I appreciate you for having me. I appreciate that. And until the next time, honey, y'all go about y'all business and have the most amazing day. But even if you can't have a good one, don't you dare go messing up nobody else's here. Love y'all. God
Boy,
bless
you. Boy, if the world listened to that, we would... Man,
it'd be such a better place
if the world talking about saying what everybody should just understand.
It's because your day toe up, you ain't got to tell nobody.
Man, you would say it differently. I would definitely use a lot of profanity in my mind. Your fucking bit. See, this is my problem, Kevin. That ain't my message, Kevin. No, I get what you're saying, Tabitha. Mind your everybody. This is y'all and everybody else's shit. No, Kevin, that's not. Kevin,
it didn't really go that
way.
There's
a much more cleaner take on it, Kevin.
Yeah, the Lord is still working on
me. He's working on me. Just be patient. Be patient.
And that's your business.
I'm going to mind my business, and I hope everybody follows suit. Tabitha Brown, this is Gold Mines. I'll see you next time.
Gold Mines with Kevin Hart is a SiriusXM and Laugh Out Loud radio production, executively produced by Kevin Hart, Ty Randolph, Mike Stein, Brian Smiley, Eric Eddings, and Eric Weil. Additional production from Elise Ellis and engineered by Marcus Hamm.
Want to make mom's day? Get to your Nordstrom Rack now and score amazing deals for Mother's Day, which is Sunday, May 12th. Find tons of gifts from only $30 at Nordstrom Rack. Fragrance, jewelry, luxury bags, activewear, beauty, and more. Save on Kate Spade New York, Stuart Weitzman, and Ted Baker London. Great brands, great prices. So shop your Nordstrom Rack store today and treat mom to the good stuff from just $30.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.